Time for another edition of Silence Broken, a podcast where we work to keep the issue of intimate partner violence in the forefront so that the conversation doesn't get lost. I'm Bob Perot, and with me, as she is every week, Erin Lee, who is the executive director of Lanark County Interval House. Hello, Erin.
Good day, Bob.
We have another very interesting guest today. I'm really looking forward to this one. Her name is Julie Lalonde, and I'll get you to introduce her, Erin.
We are very, very lucky to have Julie with us today. Julie's a Franco-Ontarian activist who amplifies the voices of many in her work around sexual violence, stalking, harassment, and really gender-based inequities in the search and demand for justice. She has done bystander intervention trainings that have really made a significant change in communities across the province and probably the country. So welcome, Julie. Tell us a little bit. Let's just get into it. Tell us what's going on and what you're working on right now.
Thanks for having me. Yeah, so it's a busy time of the year, right? It's fall, it's back to school, it's kind of a new year for a lot of folks. So I've been quite busy doing a lot of bystander intervention training, especially on campuses. We know that, you know, students are back, some of them are new. It's a big, exciting, but also kind of scary experience of going to university or college. And so being able to equip them with the skills of, it's cool that you want to party. It's cool that you want to meet people. You want to date, you know, you're kind of maybe living free for the first time. But here are ways in which you can not only protect yourself, but also look out for your friends and make sure that everyone's able to have a safe party and get home safely. And so that's what's keeping me busy these days.
So tell us a little bit more about that bystander intervention training. Like I know it's a long session, and we don't have enough time, but maybe some of the finer points that you really work to get across to the people in your sessions.
Yeah, so I'm a huge believer in bystander intervention because I am frankly alive today because people intervene to keep me safe as a survivor of intimate partner violence and stalking. And so I know that even if the legal system was working as it should, there would still be a role for community members to step in and look out for each other. And so that's really how I frame bystander intervention as community care and as skills, similar to knowing how to administer naloxone, how to do CPR. It's a skill set that people can use in lots of different contexts. So I like to really frame it in that way to show people that it's not scary, it's not vigilantism, it's not me asking you to put yourself in harm's way. It's really about small, often indirect ways to de-escalate conflict. But first, we have to create space to talk about why we're not intervening in the first place. And it's not because most of us are jerks and we don't care. It's because we're afraid. We're afraid of escalation. We're afraid we'll be targeted next. We're afraid of making a mistake and embarrassing ourselves. And so really just kind of creating a space to recognize that that's a common experience. A lot of people have that fear, but you can overcome it by being trained. So I work people through a continuum that goes from, if you're 100% certain of what you're seeing and you're feeling safe to be direct, then saying, you know, stop, leave them alone, but then pivoting and focusing on the person who's been targeted. A big misconception about bystander intervention is that the goal is to school or monologue at the person who's committing the harm and that that will somehow be a light bulb moment for them. When in fact, what you want to do is just shut it down, set a boundary, set it down, and then focus on the person who's been harmed to help them get away from the situation to de-escalate it. So that's a direct intervention, but things like distractions. You know, I can't even tell you how many times in my life a woman I've never met came up to me pretending to be my best friend to help me get away from someone that was cornering me or just being really aggressive. That's actually an incredibly effective form of de-escalation. So it's really kind of moving people through a continuum that you can use depending on the severity of the situation, but also frankly, your own feelings of safety. If you're marginalized and you're someone who does experience harassment, you might have to intervene differently than my brother, who's a 6'6" straight white man, who could probably intervene directly most of the time and do it safely.
I think it's important to know that, you know, Julie is It's important for people to understand, especially in rural communities and small communities, that the knowledge knowledge breeds power, and with power comes some of that responsibility. And I think it's about building capacity. I think it's about helping us reduce barriers to how we can engage and stop that cycle, or just insert ourselves for that moment, that touchdown moment that shuts it down for the moment, and then we figure out and focus on the person who's being victimized. Julie, I just want to shift a little bit because I know that you're very close to the Renfrew County community. You did tons of work there. And what are your thoughts about bystander intervention and looking at the recommendations from the CKW inquest, which you also gave testimony at? Like, what are your thoughts about that, and what are your feelings about how things are moving since the inquest?
I'm so heartened by how many communities, particularly rural and remote communities, have really taken up the torch of the inquest and really taken our recommendations to heart. Especially because I think rural, remote, and I come from small town Northern Ontario, like small community, we have capacity to intervene in ways that you really don't in a big city. And I say this living in downtown Ottawa now. I don't really know most of my neighbors. They don't really know me, but growing up, everybody knew somebody somehow. And that can make it can feel like it's harder to intervene because you have history with people, but actually it's kind of built in, a built-in mechanism of looking out for each other. And so I think with the inquest in particular, the fact that everybody knew those women and everybody also knew him, and they knew that he was a risk to not only them, but to the women in their own lives, that he was someone that you would kind of give him a wide berth because you'd heard the stories, you knew his reputation. And people still felt powerless to do anything about it. And we know there were legal system failures that really made it difficult, but also people didn't feel equipped. And so I'm really grateful that the bystander intervention piece was picked up by the jury, was picked up in the recommendations, because these are skills that everybody can learn, and that really pivot people away from, I think, tuning out and thinking this is too big, too scary, there's nothing I can do, to just giving them a little bit of power that then can really snowball and realizing, oh, hey, I said something to that guy who was being rude to the cashier at the grocery store. Well, if I can do that, maybe I can do this, and maybe I can check in on my friend who, ever since she started dating that guy, just, we don't see her as much. And that's giving me a bit of a spidey sense, like really just sort of tapping into the knowledge that people already have, but giving them the confidence that, like, it's not about being rude. It's not about, interfering in people's personal business. It's about recognizing that we're in a community and we have to look out for each other. And I think rural communities get that in a way that urban big cities, they just don't have that same kind of ethos. Around, we don't surveil our neighbors, but we watch them, we see them, we interact with them because we're all part of a community together.
I'm like you. I've lived in a big city. I was born and raised in Ottawa. Now I live in small town. So sort of a reversal there. But I think what we have on this conversation today is a prime example of collaboration, because you have someone like you, Julie, who has this skill set when it comes to bystander intervention, and then someone like Aaron, who has the rural expertise. And we've talked many times in this series and in our previous series as well, about the challenges that people face in rural areas. And bystander intervention may look a little bit different in those areas than it would, say, in a school or a city setting. Aaron, maybe you can talk about that little bit of collaboration there and how you adapt some of these skills to towns like the ones in our listening area.
Yeah, I think for me, I see that, whether it's schools, we've had Julie come out and do one of our school conferences where we're bringing students from all our schools together. I think the opportunity is a little bit different because I think we can get buy-in from one person, from one business. I think the influences are very different in our community in terms of somebody giving the nod to making sure that it's okay, and then people kind of buy in and they move, they get on side. I think the other reality is that the different facets and the different ways it can be delivered also reduces isolation. And it can reduce isolation and reach people who are living and enduring and who maybe have never had a conversation or heard anything about building skills. And some of the examples that when we talk about things in our rural community, we talk about going to the door with food. Right, you hear stuff going on next door, you knock on the door and you've got a pie. You've got, you've got sauce, you've got preserves because it's canning season. You've got things that you can use as a distraction that fall in the norm. So finding that kind of regular construct of in rural communities, how we communicate with our neighbors, what we drop off, how we share things is often an entry point. It doesn't work the same way in the city in terms of proximity and, as Julie referenced, in terms of how we know each other. So in rural communities, I think that we broaden it, we bring it to our schools, we amplify it, we have it at conferences. Kids go home and they're talking about what they've learned at the conference. It then continues to build, into the gym and into, onto the sports field where we're now doing coaching boys into med, and then we're integrating that kind of bystander stuff. So I think the opportunities are different. I think that the strategies are a little bit different, and I think the influence is a bit different. And I really feel like because Julie is rooted in rural community, comes from rural community, and was very much involved in Renfrew County when the murders happened, I think that having that frame really helps contextualize and means that, Julie can adapt. We can all adapt together in terms of how do we collaborate and how do we deliver the messages that are going to resonate with this particular community of folks. And I would agree that it's been super effective because there's already this existing sense of community and monitoring-ish, because we know people's business sometimes. And so how do we use that to our advantage in terms of how do we breed and build safety for folks in community?
Julie, you're nodding your head an awful lot. I'd love to get your thoughts.
Yeah, I think there's a built-in, I mean, I grew up on a like a off a highway, right? Like, and so there's a built-in notion of your neighbor, like you've got issues with your sub pump, you go see your neighbor. We had like a 4x4 that we used to plow the driveway. And if we ran out of petrol, then like we'd go and see someone to be like, hey, so sorry, I'm halfway through my driveway. Like it's just built in that you gotta help each other because a lot of infrastructure, frankly, in rural communities is not in tip-top shape like it is in urban settings. And so again, there's that built-in, like it wouldn't be weird to get a knock at the door from a neighbor who's just like, oh, hey, sorry, like my pipes are frozen. Like, can I get some, and so I think that notion of looking out for each other is just inherent. And like Aaron said, sometimes it can be aggravating when you grow up in a small town and you're like, I can't sneak out with my friends because everybody knows my business. makes dating difficult sometimes, right? But I think overall, there's this like infrastructure that's built into rural communities that I think we need to leverage. And I feel the same way about any kind of smaller community. It's why I'm so, when I was working in Renfrew County, was so frustrated by what was going on within the military, for example, because it's like, this is a built-in community. This is literally, we win as a team, we lose as a team. Like, bystander intervention should be innate to how you do things because you have to look out for each other. Working with hockey teams, working with community groups, it's like, come on, folks, like it's built into how we operate that we are a team, that we look out for each other. And I think especially in rural communities, like I know there's such profound pride of place, right? Where it's kind of like a sibling, like I can tease my brother, but if someone else does, I puff up, So like I can say like, oh, I'm from this crappy small town. But if someone were to talk about my crappy small town and they're not from there, I'm like, I puff up, right? I'm like, no, leave us alone. So I think that's a vibe. And I think we just need to pivot that vibe to focusing on things like IPV, child abuse, like knowing someone's struggling with substance misuse, and their children are being neglected, like going about that compassionately. And tapping into those skills we already have as a rural community of like, okay, treat it like their pipes are frozen. Treat it like, they're not able, they injured themselves so they can't, plow their driveway. Like it's the same vibe, but we just need to acknowledge that a lot of the reticence is because it is misogyny, it is rooted in sexism, and that makes people uncomfortable to have to face versus, helping someone plow their driveway, right? So I think the root of it, the reason why a lot of people are not clinging on to bystander intervention in this conversation, as they should, is because it is still taboo to talk about intimate partner violence, sexual assault. And until we shatter that taboo, I think we're not going to make as much progress as we would like.
Well, this is only one area that you're well versed in, and I really hope that you'll come back another time and join us for another episode down the road, because certainly it's been a joy to speak with you today. Do you have anything you'd like to leave our audience with?
Just know, one, trust your instincts, because when you get that spidey sense, it's telling you something. But also understanding that bystander intervention is not about focusing on the person committing harm. It's about protecting the people being harmed. And so if you pivot to thinking of it in that way, it's inherently less scary because you're not going up against someone who's intimidating. You're looking at like, oh, I know her. I know those kids. I know that family. And how can I work to sort of build relationships with them rather than focusing on the person committing harm? And that shift, I can see people's shoulders drop a little bit of like, oh, that feels doable. And so just remember the target of the violence is who we want to put our energy towards.
And as always, Aaron, we'll have your parting thoughts.
I think that Julie said it all. I think that, communities are resilient. We can certainly fortify the innate structure, if for not for a better term, the structure of how things work in rural community, and we can insert bystander intervention and have people embrace it because it will make a huge difference. Because I think that once we start to break down and start talking about that and intervening, we can have another conversation with Julie and talk about other pieces related to stalking, related to harassment, and thinking about even how human trafficking is increasing in rural communities, and how do we take our bystander intervention skills, our spidey senses, as Julie called it, and how do we let that radiate further? We have to practice it. We have to be comfortable with it, and we have to embrace it. And I think that together we can and certainly do that. And I'm really grateful, Julie, for you coming out this week. And I look forward to you coming back to the show.
Julie Lalonde, Franco-Ontarian women's rights advocate and educator in bystander intervention. Thank you again.
Thanks so much for having me.
And Aaron Lee from Lanark County Interval House, I will speak with you next week.
Indeed, as always.
I'm Bob Perot.